for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, December the 29th, 2000. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ronnie Bejou of Bowes Bridge, Louisiana, is the minister of the morning.
In our quiet times, we think about your goodness, your mercy, your love. We think about the things that you're saying and doing in the church of this hour. We approach your throne this morning in praise and worship because we love you. And you love us. And we find comfort in your spirit. For this is your kingdom. And we are your people. Father, we ask you to help us today. As we look into your word, that we might discover the marvelous truth that you've hidden from fools, but you've given them unto us as babes and even as those that you've considered to be wise, that we might handle your word with truth, with integrity, with purpose, being cautious and mindful of others that we share it with, that your word would not fall upon deaf ears, but that it would fall upon the ears of those that would hear and do what you're saying to us in this hour. And Father, that the word would cause the scales to fall upon our very eyes, that the mysteries of Christ will no longer be a mystery, but a revelation to your people. And Father, help us walk through our valleys. Help us walk through the things that you have designed for us to walk through. And when we leave this place today, let us have full assurance in our hearts that we have been in the presence of a holy God. And all the people that believe that say it, amen. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I want to speak on the subject of the concept of consolation. We're living in a time frame that the people of God need to be comforted. And it's time for camps to quit fighting among themselves. I believe that the enemy is successful when we find ourselves divided and in strife and in contention with one another. I want to remind you this morning that there's not one person that will walk in the flesh that has all the answers and can solve every problem. For the word was declared unto us that Paul said that we all see in part, we all hear in part, and we all do in part. And every vessel here today represents some type of truth that will help deliver people, heal, restore. We are in the healing and restoration business, not in the fighting and quarreling business. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You may wonder why, when you come to this camp, I'm going to speak to you just for a moment before I get started this morning, there's always something going on. When you have given up your rights to something that used to belong to you, and you're trying to appropriate it again, you're going to have a fight on your hands. And God gave us His kingdom, and He gave us the land. And therefore, we must possess what God has given us. And I believe the only way that we will ever come to complete fruition is when we realize that we are possessed by a greater power than our own selves.
Amen.
And that's called the Holy Ghost. When Jesus said, I would not leave you comfortless, He was talking about He was going to release and send the Holy Ghost to live in the hearts of men and women that would love Him and serve Him. For the divine law was declared in our ears that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. Deuteronomy 6:5. Jesus said, "Now the greatest commandment I leave with you, that you love one another." And I wonder this morning, as we talked about the idea or the opinion or the concept of consolation, if we could find comfort. For the Word declares in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, "Comfort ye one another with these words." Brethren, we need to spend time comforting one another, because we have a job to do and we have a battle to win. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, in Luke chapter 2, we know that Luke was not only a physician, he was also an evangelist. Therefore, his message was very evangelistic. Amen? Luke speaks to us more as an evangelist as he does a pastor. And so his message was challenging. His revelations were true. But there's a guy in this chapter that I want to look at his life this morning called Simeon. Everybody say Simeon. His word means hearkening. Hello. His word means hearkening. His word means to hear the one that speaks. The one that speaks to us with illumination. Luke's name also is defined as the illuminator. Very illuminating personality. How do you know that it is very hard to sit to listen to someone who is boring?
Amen.
I'm just making sure y'all are awake. And yet it is nice to listen to someone who's dynamic. But if they're not saying anything, both of them are boring.
Amen.
Hello? And while we're at it, there's also a woman of great importance in this story. Her name is Anna, which is also another word for Hannah. And that makes me think of my granddaughter, Hannah. But she is of old age, and she's a prophetess. Now, I want to show you as we begin to look at the Word today that everything in the Word of God is inspired, has a purpose, and it has a destiny. And so if we will find comfort in the Word of the Lord today, we will find our purpose. And we will begin to understand our calling. And we will now know what's ahead for our destiny. The concept of consolation. Let's begin reading in verse 25 in Luke chapter 2. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout." Now, how would you like to have people refer to you as just and devout? "Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Say, "The Holy Ghost."
The Holy Ghost
is upon me. Now say, "The Holy Ghost,
the Holy Ghost
is in me."
And
therefore we are serving a king who has a kingdom. And that king is the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to rule and to reign in our lives. And I believe with all my heart this morning, the first concept of consolation is to hear God. You can take that book, that Bible, and you can quote it and memorize it and know all the Greek and the Hebraic part of it. But if you don't know the author, you don't know God. And you can't separate God and His Word and the Word and the Spirit. But if you don't know the author, most folks spend most of that time memorizing Bible and never spending enough time in the presence of God to know Him. And therefore, if we live in a kingdom, I believe we should be able to at least get to know the King. I don't know about you, but I want to know the one that I am serving. I want to know Him personally. I want to know Him intimately. I want to know everything that is about Him.
Because everything that he is about this morning, you're about. And everything that you're about, I'm about. And therefore, I can understand if I know him, I know my calling, I know my purpose, and I will know that I can find the destiny. I can be comforted in the words that I hear God. I don't need somebody to hear God for me. I am a child of God, therefore I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I can hear God. So the first consolation is to hear God. Notice the scripture says that there was a man in Jerusalem. When you hear God, you have peace. Jerusalem speaks of a place of peace. You and I must get ourselves in the place where we can hear God and not only be at peace with God, but at peace with ourselves. How many of you know it's marvelous to get into the presence of God? But then a whole lot of folks leave and they don't have any peace whatsoever. I don't know about you, but the book of Colossians said that we should let the peace of God richly rule in our hearts. When you study that little principle, you will find that God is saying to us, you need to let the peace of God become the umpire of your heart. So in a baseball game, the most important guy is the umpire. If he says it's a strike, it's a strike. If he says you're out of here, you're out of here. And you can kick dust like everybody else does and do all that foolish stuff they do. But if the umpire says you're out, you're out. But if he said you're safe, you're safe. So when we begin to allow this consolation, this comfort, this peace of God to begin to lead us, you know, we'll save ourselves a whole lot of problems. Instead of just jumping up and saying, yep, that's what I'm going to do. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. Yep, I'm going to do this. Yep, I'm going to do that. Yep, I'm going to do this. And you're nothing but a jumping jack, and the devil's going to whip you silly. And most of the time, we don't need the devil to beat up stuff. We beat up our own selves. You don't need to say, man. It's still the truth.
Amen.
We are the hardest people on our own selves. Does it mean we don't love God? No. I believe there's great consolation, secondly, as we talk about consolation of hearing, not only having peace, but the consolation of waiting. It's an amazing thing to me when I watched my daughters get pregnant, wait 9 and 10 months and have a baby. But you know, they were completely consoled and comforted in the fact that they were pregnant. They already had a baby. But the progress of time, the baby had to develop. Now, I want to talk to you as a father this morning. I don't feel like prophesying to you and just jumping on chairs today. See, the promptings of God's heart is that we learn to wait in His presence. Because see, if we wait long enough, we'll receive instructions and we won't get off to the right or to the left and do something goofy. It'll take you 6 or 7 or 9 months to repair. Hello?
Amen.
Now, Simeon was a wise man. The Bible said he was not only just, he was devout. This was a man of integrity. And one of the key things for Simeon that he had received a revelation from God that he was going to hold this infant in his arm, and this infant was going to be the consolation not only of Israel, but of the whole world. But the Israelites wanted it to be a consolation to restore the kingdom back to themselves. But God said, I have come to establish a kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not just for one nation, but for the whole world. So we don't have any bragging rights to go around and say, my dad is bigger than your daddy. My dad is bigger than yours. But when we understand the concept of what God was saying through this man. And it goes beyond that. Much further than that. It speaks of when we hold the Word of God, not only on our laps,
but in our own hands, and we're handling the Word of Life. And realize that at that moment that you're sharing a word with some precious soul, some precious life, that you have become God's consolation. And that you have an awesome responsibility to be careful how you share that word with somebody. Because if you don't share it in simplicity and in truth, you can cause them to veer 1 degree and take them 10 years to recover. But if you share it with simplicity and truth, and with the anointing that it is designed to annihilate every power and dominion that comes against you, and you receive that truth in your heart, you will begin to stand and you will find that you had a comfort you would not ordinarily have. I don't know about you, but it is marvelous when I look at the Word of God and He enlightens or illuminates that Word to me. I go, oh, glory to God. I don't have to have a 100 or 10 or 20 or 40 or 50 people to have church. Honey, I have church going down the road in my pickup truck. I know some folks think that, look at that old fool driving up and down the road. He keeps swerving. I'm not sliding up and down the highway. I'm just praising the Lord and not throwing my hands up. And these truckers look at me and go, honk, honk. Go ahead and honk. You don't know what I'm doing. But if you knew what I knew and you have what I have, you'd do the same thing. Because see, He's changing me. He's changing you. And I don't believe I'll ever get tired of singing, Sandy, that old little hymn. Little by little, every day. I realized I got born again one day and I wasn't grown up at all. Mm-hmm. Little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. Since I made this turnabout face, I've been growing in His grace. Jesus is changing me. And you know, I don't have to struggle. I don't have to get frustrated over it. All I have to do is rest in the consolation and the fact that God, infinitely God, has imparted His Spirit into my spirit. He has impregnated me and He's changing me. And daily I'm being formed in His image. And when the time for this thing to be birthed will come forth, I will be all grown up. And all I have to do is surrender to the sweet promptings and to receive the peace of God that surpasses my little coconut understanding. And realize that I am serving something and someone who is greater than me, and He's divine. Now, you got a picture of Simeon, old, long white hair, white beard, probably dressed in his priestly garment, waiting all these years, for he had studied the prophets and studied the law, the Torah. And he was believing that that thing that God had supernaturally impregnated his heart with, that he was going to see the consolation. He was going to see He that was coming to be the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world. Every prophet that had spoken of this consolation, Simeon knew that one day before he died and gave up the ghost, he would be holding Him in his hands. And what a privilege. But for him, it was a little bit different than for us. He knew that when he would hold this infant child called Jesus in his hands, that his time had come. He had fulfilled his calling and his destiny was just a moment away. And you will see shortly that he prayed, God, if you just let it, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Isn't God good?
Amen.
The consolation of peace and waiting. One thing that reminds me of waiting and having this consolation, it both refreshes the soul and the Spirit. And the Bible says in verse 25, the second part, that is, and the Holy Ghost was upon Him. When we realize that we live in a kingdom, and the Holy Ghost does not leave us and go to sleep and rest somewhere and come back for church service. Are you with me? We must get a hold of this morning in this consolation, in this comforting word that the Holy Ghost lives in us and He will not leave. Old Peter had a problem. He said, "Now, Lord, you revealed to me, the Father revealed to me that you are the Christ." Of course, you know how many times old Peter got rebuked. But he didn't quit. He had a comfort in his heart. Paul had a different revelation of Jesus. But Peter's revelation was just as important as Paul's revelation. God sent Paul to the Gentiles and sent the most unlearned, uncouth man to the Jewish nation called Peter. Scrubby old fisherman. And I wonder sometimes, can we find comfort in what we're doing? Can we find comfort in the assignment that God has given unto us? Consider the whole concept of this consolation. Consider the idea that God looked at frail man and woman and says, "I want to use you for my glory. I want to use you in my kingdom." And not after you got born again, and not after you've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost for 40, 50 years, that you came into a realization that you had a calling from God, but He called you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. This man had great comfort, and he had never laid eyes on Jesus. But he knew one day he will hold this little body in his hand. But he also knew that this little infant would not remain an infant. And he was going to grow up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord. Can you imagine finding all that in that one verse of Scripture? Because he knew. Now, listen to this. The Holy Ghost had not yet come. But the Bible, I don't know what version you have, but the King James Version says, "And the Holy Ghost was upon him." You know, the only thing that they lacked in the Old Testament writings was tongues. That ought to humble you. So you think you got tongues? You got tongues in trouble. That don't mean we have that all locked up because we speak in tongues. They had interpretation of dreams. They had every gift of the Spirit operating. And here we think we got tongues and we got it all together. Man, we are locked up, shut up, and we are ready for church. It's good to find consolation that you can speak with another tongue. But it's not the whole ballpark. How many of you know when you got saved, the only thing that changed was your heart? The rest of you was like me, the mess. Of course, maybe you weren't a mess. Maybe you weren't like me. The Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him. Just for a reference, in Mark 15:43, there was a guy named Joseph of Arimathea who also was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Now, with this concept, the church is waiting for the Lord to return. How many of you are not yet waiting for the Lord to return? How many of you don't know what you're waiting for? You'll all say the same answer. Nobody raise your hand. All right. But with this consolation, they were waiting for the kingdom to be restored to Israel. But the kingdom that they were waiting for is that they would have a king that could rule and reign. And God had one intention. There was never, if you study Scripture, you will find it was never intended to ever have had a king. But one. And he's on the King of Kings because he is the King of Kings. The only one that could put on that crown of crowns. Only one that could come to us with such royalty, such deity, that when he finished everything, if we will ever get a hold of it, that we can have such comfort that we don't have to work and thrive at trying to get it all done. He has done it. And all we have to come is to an acceptance of what Jesus did for us. And we won't strive. And we won't get confused. And we'll quit fighting against one another. I'm saying this to you because I go to a lot of different churches and camps. And they're constantly striving. I'm like old Amos sometimes. I can see the plumb line. Whoop! Right in the middle of the church. Half this church believes that, and the other half believes that, and the rest of them that remain don't even know what they believe. And they argue about doctrines. There is no consolation And if we really want to understand the Scripture, Paul told Timothy, dispute not the Scriptures. Now, can you imagine what they thought about Simeon? You put yourself in Simeon's shoes today. You're old. You're ready to go home. And you're telling everybody you cannot go home now because you're waiting for the consolation of the Lord to show up. And they go, poor old soul. He's nuts. He's senile. Nobody believes him. But you know, let me bring something back to you. Remember, they didn't believe Noah either. And it was that same Holy Ghost that sealed the doors. And they couldn't pull the hinges off. And they couldn't open the door. And they cried out until their last breath. But it was too late. Now, what comfort do you think Noah and his family and all those smelly animals in that ark had when they floated on water for 40 days and 40 nights, knowing that the whole creation had been destroyed? But the Bible said that Noah was a righteous man. And he adhered to God. And took him 100 and somewhat years to build a boat. And nobody had ever seen. No one had ever seen a body of water. Nobody had ever seen rain. And I thought, what consolation to stand before the Creator Himself and hear Him say, boy, I want you to... See, in Staphylosian, we don't have ark, we have pirogues. Now, how foolish it would be to my natural mind if God said, I want you to build a pirogue that will carry all of your family. Because that protective levee is going to break and you won't have time to get out of town. And that pirogue would become my ark. And the presence of God would be saturated in it. And I would find consolation. Even though I'm vulnerable to the outside world, I'm sitting in the midst of what God told me. And I'm waiting for His consolation. Amen. And when this happens, I have heard and therefore I'm prepared. And when the waters come, I can just float and ride the waves with Jesus. But I could be a fool and say, that'll never work. That'll never happen. In another word of what I'm saying to you, we must not be led by our flesh. We must be led by our spirit. And as long as we're fleshly led people, will not find the consolation of God. Simeon withstood everything. Let me give you about 3 scriptures that help you understand some of this. Psalms 22 verse 28 says, for the kingdom of is the Lord's. Who's the kingdom's? Is the Lord's. And He is the governor of or among many nations. If God's in the governor, He must be in charge. How many of you know that governors rule? Yeah. Matthew 24:14 says, and the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then the end shall come. How many of us really believe there's going to be an end? Romans 14:17 is one of my most preferred verses. Says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Living righteously does not mean you act right. It's because you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that King has a kingdom, and you and I live in His kingdom, and the King lives in us. And therefore we have become His righteousness. And because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we therefore have peace. And because we have peace, we have joy. And that all that peace and that joy is in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. It's not in meat. It's not in entertainment. And thank God for it. We need a break. You need to get away. Take a little time for yourself sometimes. But it's not in meat and drink. But it's in the what? Peace and joy. In the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Secondly, Let's consider the consolation in the revelation that we receive. How many of you know that we must learn how to live by revelation knowledge? When you receive a revelation, a personal revelation for your life, it'll never leave you. But if you try to live by somebody else's revelation, you're going to find yourself frustrated. Because it wasn't given unto you, it was given to somebody else. But you have yours. Paul said he received his sight. Turn with me now to Galatians 1. While you're turning there, I'm going to read this next verse. And it was revealed unto him, speaking of Simeon, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. How many of you know if we're not prepared to see Jesus, and he was to show up, we might want to die? Are y'all awfully quiet this morning? Galatians chapter 1. Paul had an experience when he received his revelation. His first experience was on the road to Damascus. Was it not? Who showed up? Jesus. And what was the first thing that happened to Paul? And his consolation, he was blind. So I don't know about you, preacher, but I can't find consolation in being blind. I can absolutely find consolation in being blind. Sometimes I'm blind to things I don't need to see. But if curiosity gets the best of me, I'll go sticking my nose where it don't belong, and I'll see things I didn't need to see. Now, Paul thought he was doing God a favor, and he was killing Christians. Hello? But when the great consolation came, when the comforter himself, when the peace of peace came, the King of Kings came, he had a supernatural enlightenment about it, and it caused the blindness to come upon Paul. And what happened in a moment's time, Paul was then blind to the past, and he was reopened to the future and the present. Twofold things happened. He was not only blind. God revealed himself to him and changed his whole concept who he thought God was, and realized in a moment's time that he had been doing an injustice. Broke his heart and went out into the desert. There's great consolation in our desert time. There's great consolation in this camp of not having electricity.
Amen.
It revealed our hearts and our intents. It revealed how we're spoiled. I'm talking about me. We're all spoiled.
That's right.
Some folks just flat got upright and get up and use that blow dryer in the morning. We should be able to find consolation in our desert time. And we should be able to find consolation when we're blind, to the point that we refuse to stay in that dimension. And we will press on, that we will begin to see God. The scripture is very plain. He says, the Holy Ghost revealed unto him that he would see the Lord Christ before he died. How many of you want to see Jesus? Oh, we got one or two people that believe that. That's all right. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, for I do now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's the anointed one. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of, somebody say it out loud, Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in the time past in the Jews' religion, how that I beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and wasted. It's imperative that we hear God. It's also a consolation when we do hear Him. He reveals Himself to you. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus, where he was first blinded and first saw the light. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. And it goes on and on and on. And notice when Paul went into Arabia, he didn't go there bitter. He didn't go say, well, bless God, I'm a man of God. I shouldn't have been able to see that. It wasn't given for you to see. And see, that removes the guilt complex of, because I should have known that. Oh, I should have done that. You can't do anything that you don't know. And so quit beating yourself up and receive the consolation of the Anointed One. And let Him reveal in you, not the baby infant Jesus, but to reveal in you the Son of the Living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So there is consolation in our revelation, even though they will all vary. But it all talks about the same God, the same Jesus. Now, while I'm on this note, I might as well meddle a little bit. I do not believe we all serve the same God. In this sanctuary, perhaps. But when you go out in the world, there are many churches and religions and traditions that tell you, but brother, we serve the same God. I said, I beg to differ with you. Because if we're not living and being led by the Holy Ghost and the revelation of God, we're being led by men's traditions and men's opinion. And therefore, we will miss the kingdom. And when God shows up, whether you're raptured or ruptured, and whatever you believe, it doesn't make a hill of beans to me. You better be ready, because when He shows up, the Bible says we will know Him. But we'll be just like Him. And if you're not like Him, you're not going. It's an interesting word, isn't it? And then we get a revelation of life beyond mortality. Go back to Luke 2. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. Did I read that correctly? Did I read that correctly? I need somebody to respond in this church today. Did I read that correctly? It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, but read the whole thing, before he had seen. How many years are you waiting and willing to wait? Of course, we got some prophets out there that are telling you Jesus is going to be here 2002, 2 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon. He'll be in Fort Worth, Texas, if you want to be there. He'll be riding a big white horse. Everything's big in Texas. Come on. Give me a break. Where does the Bible say? What it does say, no man knows. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But I'm not taking the chance whether he's coming today or tomorrow or the day after. But I have this consolation, brethren, that I'm keeping myself ready. I had first, when I was pastor the first 15 years of my life, Christian life, I pastored a church and I had people who would leave because I didn't even preach on the rapture and I wouldn't preach on the book of Revelation. And this was always a big problem. We had some old boys way back in the early 70s preaching, no rapture. The other side of the fence said, there's a rapture. And so confusion was reigning. And so they'd leave this unhappy captain saying, if you don't preach on the rapture, we're not staying. If you preach against the rapture, we're not staying. If you don't preach on Revelation, you're not staying. I said, you have a choice. You're not staying. You missed that. So you have a choice. You're not staying. Because I'm not preaching on any one of them. And so I had to find a revelation for myself. Now, this is for me. If it helps you, you receive it. I said, Lord, what about all these things that men stand up and argue and waste, like Paul did? They wasted it. Wasting precious moments and time where we could be concentrating and being in the presence of God. I said, what about this? And the Lord said it very plain to me. He said, son, don't you be concerned about who's right and who's not right. He said, hadn't it dawned on you that I not revealed to any man? So they cannot make a doctrine out of it.
Yep.
He says, but keep yourself ready. I can come at any moment. Now, man's concept is that the church is not ready. Now, if Jesus declared to the church at Thessalonica that he could come in a twinkling of an eye, and he says, behold, I come and I do a quick work. Do you know that in a moment's time, Sandy, he can
mm-hmm.
changes. And so that takes away the frustration and the point that we have to constantly try to make ourselves good. Brethren, you cannot make yourself good.
Amen.
Without Him, we are absolutely, positively, unequivocally helpless.
Amen.
But with His peace and His joy, what great consolation. This is a love story message. It's my personal love story. Because see, there were Christians in 1 John. I call it Little John. If you want to turn there, you may. Let's go ahead and go there. Talks about handling the Word of God. Now, was not that what Simeon was doing?
Yes.
Handling the Word of God? Is Jesus not declared in the Scripture as the Word of God? Is He not declared as the Word of life manifested in the flesh?
Yes.
Do you realize that the Word of God is the Spirit of God and He wants to manifest in you? He wants you and I to become the Word of God. He wants you and I to become the bread of God that this people and the humanity can eat off of us and live. Because we've become the Zoe life of God, and we therefore have become this heavenly manna. It was not the same bread that Moses ate. He said, I will give you heavenly manna.
Yeah.
You'll become true bread. Living. Zoe halura mamakinai.
Living.
Not stale.
Yeah.
Not hard as rock. Thank God my wife learned how to make bread. I remember one time she made bread, you could throw it against the wall and it would not even break. She said, I'll get better at it, honey. I said, I know you will. I have all the confidence in the world. That, verse 1, 1 John, which was from the beginning, which we have, somebody help me, heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it.
Amen.
And bear witness and shown to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Do we believe this report?
Yes.
That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship, koinonia, communion, with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know what I consider having a good time? When I'm shut up and shut in with God. I like when Sister Sandy was talking about her grandmother last night. It brought such joy. I could literally picture her in my mind as I'm going up. I mean, I got another picture in my mind when the strings on her shoes, the shoelaces were loosed. It speaks of the time that when we're going to get so loosed in the body of Christ and we'll shout for joy, we'll become the peace of God on the earth. We'll become the joy of God in the earth. And we'll begin to walk and begin to hail the Word of God and prefer one another and not try to prove to everybody else that we have all the truth and nobody has anything. I'm sick and tired of going from camp to camp and church to church, and all they do waste time.
Yes.
I tell you what I started doing, and you need to pray for me because some of them might want to shoot me. I go to church and there's no anointing. I don't preach. And the pastor asked me, he said, what's the matter with you? I said, no, I'm not preaching. Why not? There's no anointing. Why not? I said, look at your people. They won't even stand up. Won't even acknowledge God. Won't even praise and worship God. But yet they want God to come and bring them bread. Come and serve us. Folks, we got our theology wrong. We come in here not to serve, to be served. We come in here to serve God.
Amen.
And when we give Him out of our own hearts, when we give that sacrificial praise and we worship God out of our pure hearts and everything that is within us, I guarantee you He's going to show up. He's going to come down and receive that sacrificial offering. When we'll just sit back with our religious mindset and stiff-necked God. He is not moving, and we're not being consoled. We're being deceived. There's consolation in Revelation. And you can get it right where you're sitting this morning. But you may have to get some of it out in your own Arabia desert, in your own place of solitude. I've got a message I've never preached it here called solitude confinement. Solitary confinement, excuse me. When we receive the death blow that He received on the cross, we acknowledge unto Him in His presence that it's over and He has finished the work. And all we have to do is walk in obedience to what His Spirit is saying to us, and He leads us and guides us. The doctrines of men have caused us to veer from the simple truth that all God is looking for is a people that He can fellowship with and love. And in His fellowship and His love, He consoles us and He blesses us. I grew up in a church that was very strong on prosperity. And I don't harp on that. I believe God wants to bless His people. But in the fashion that is taught, it's luring and deceptive. Because it puts a mindset in people where all they're seeking God for is things and money. Mm-hmm. And God says, I'll not have any other gods before me. Amen. Hello. Amen. But yet we want His consolation. We want His peace. We want His joy. I wonder where God is ministering to us this morning and has our hearts in His hand, and we're so pliable. Let me invoke this upon you. What are you willing to give up for the life of Christ? What are you willing to trade with God for His life? What are you willing to forsake for the goodness of God? Separated life is a holy life. And when God calls us holy, why do we call ourselves unholy? If God says we're healed, why do we say we're not healed? God says we're blessed, why do we say we're not blessed? God says I give you peace, why do we say I'm confused? We need to go back and read the scriptures. We have a few more minutes. Lunch is not ready yet. So listen to this carefully one more time. Verse 27 says, 6 says, it was wow, that was loud. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death. And I read that verse for you in Galatians that Paul says, I was not taught this revelation by any man. God was sent by revelation knowledge to go out into the desert. But he came back with the revealer. God had revealed to him his Christ, his anointed son. And then on Paul began to take the mindset with this revelation. I'm not a heathen. I'm not just a Hebrew. I'm not just a Greek. Remember his statement, he said, I'm a Pharisee to the Pharisees. I'm a Greek to the Greek. I'm a Hebrew to the Hebrew. I'm all things to all men. But I caught it all done that I might win the excellency of Christ. And guess what he found? In a dry, desolate place, Jesus revealed himself to him. And then he calls Paul his son. He calls you his son. No sex, no gender. He calls you his sons. And the son has a privilege and a right to the throne. And so when we have this kind of mindset that we think about who we are in him, we'll quit thinking about who we are not.
Amen.
And we'll quit fighting with everything that comes around, and we'll become lovers instead of fight. I'm in love with God. I'm pregnant. Have you ever seen a pregnant man? I'm a miracle life. I am impregnated with his word. And I can't do anything else with my life but to surrender to that word and that spirit and serve him, because he is my Messiah, he is my king, and he will and shall return. And when he does, I don't care what songs you're singing, I'm leaving. Hello.
Amen.
Now saying all that, the third consolation, realizing that He leads us by His Spirit. Now, in verse 27, He says, and He came by the Spirit into the temple. How did Simeon know to go into the temple? And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they had to follow the customs of the law after circumcision. It was a time of purification. And now there was going to be a time of dedication. And Simeon was going to hold eternal life in his hands. What a consolation. We don't worship the book, but I want to tell you something. The writings of this book, they are sacred. They speak of a man, a God who took on the form of a man and came to earth and subjected himself to death and hell itself and bore every sin, every sickness, every disease upon his body on a cross and gave up the ghost in pain and in agony. But he had this consolation. He had become the perfect Lamb of God. And when they declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world," Jesus was the Lamb, the perfect sacrifice. And from that point, as we receive this consolation, we realize that we don't have to die anymore.
Amen.
You see, when they came out with crucified life, I tried to kill myself in every way I could. I tried to deny my flesh in everything I could. And I got every message on every crucified living, every crucified life message I could get my hand on. Every book I could get my hand on, I got a hold of it. And I'd look at God and said, "I'm not dying. I'm still not denying myself." And the Lord brought me to Romans 8:1, and He says, "You're living by the law that condemns you. You must live by the Spirit." And Galatians 3:13, He says, "For Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law." And that eliminated the fact that I don't have to do it anymore. Christ has already done it. And my dying to self and dying a crucified life could never save anybody's soul. And He had done it. And therefore my life couldn't do it. And He did it for me. All I have to do is accept what He's done. Can you imagine Simeon going through this message and considering that the Spirit of God had come upon him, had revealed himself to him, and now was leading him into the temple? Do you realize this morning that we're not just a bunch of clay sitting in chairs, that we have embodied carrying the Holy Ghost of God, and we have become His tabernacle, we have become His temple. And He lives in us. And we can have church right where we are, whether there's one of us or 1,000 of us. We can give acclamations to God because He has cleansed us by His blood. He's made the entrance free according to Hebrews 10. He's removed us from an evil conscience. And that wasn't enough. Paul told the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, "Casting down every imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." What a consolation. The Spirit led him into the temple. My heart's question is today, where is the Spirit leading you? What is the Holy Ghost leading you to do today? What is the imprints upon your heart? Do you realize that you have a mandate? And you are the only word of life that some folks will ever see. Paul said that we are epistles not written with ink, but by the hand or by the Spirit of God. And he declares to them at another time, he says, "You are the epistles of life." The words of God are written and inscribed on our hearts. He's given us a new heart and a new spirit. We are in covenant with the Holy God. And it doesn't matter what hell throws at you, honey. God's got bigger rocks Are you with me? The consolation leads us as we depart from this cosmos into the eternal realm. Fourthly, and I'm closing, consolation brings illumination. As we read on verse 28, it says, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let as a kingdom word that thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I'm not going to die until I see the Lord Christ. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light unto lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of men in Israel, and boy, did he ever. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through my own soul also, that the hearts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of 84 years, which is 84 years of age, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and praying night and day. She departed not from what? She departed not from what?
The temple.
And what did she do?
Fasting.
And what?
Praying.
She was in koinonia fellowship with God. Here's a word of consolation. We have all probably heard many sermons and sermonettes about fasting. And what is the general uno number one thing that is brought to our understanding about fasting, or what we have been told fasting is all about? To abstain. And generally, number uno one is food. Is that true?
True.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
I can't hear you back there. Is that true?
Yes.
Amen. Now, since the Holy Ghost is the revealer and He's the comforter, and we're in this little mindset and mind frame that we are in this morning, talking about the concept of consolation, I wonder at times if God would not have us fast from talking. When your talking and my talking doesn't bring comfort and consolation, you ought to shut up. Put your tongue on pause and put it on break, on the break, and fast until you get your heart right with God. And not criticize your brother and sister and knock down everything that God is trying to build. Who do you think you are?
Right. Amen.
One sister told me, she says, I'm so spiritual. She says, I even have to ask the Holy Ghost when I need to go to the bathroom. And then the minister rose up inside of me, then somebody else answered in my place and said, I wish he'd make you hold until you can't hold anymore and make a mess of yourself. That is stupidity. That is not.
Stupidity.
That's not spiritual.
No.
And then you have the other barkers in the churches. Let me harp on them just for a moment. I'm going to close. Talk, 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 and I want to talk, 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 and what God told me, and what God done. They wouldn't even know what God told them if God slapped them beside the head. They're too busy talking and never saying anything. When we handle the Word of God, we need to be careful. Most of you don't really know me. You know, you've seen me. I'm kind of a unique type of fella. One old guy from South Louisiana says he's genuine. I'm serious about what I do. God, to me, is a sobering thing. Keeps me sober. I like to cut up and joke. But when it comes to God, there's no jokes about it. Of course, I've had some people tell me I missed my calling. Should have been a comedian instead of a preacher. You can listen to the devil's report if you want to. You don't have to agree with that. But I wonder, What was Anna doing? Fasting and praying. And the first thing that we have been programmed to believe, she was just abstaining from food. I bet if we not only had all the lights taken away from us and we could have not had had food on this camp, some of us would be squalling.
Some way to leave.
But with the same token, when we're saying words, we're speaking life of sort or death. And so my concern is, why don't we practice just fasting from talking? I believe you could fast from talking longer than you can fast from food. So why do you say that? He did it to Zechariah. He shut him up, didn't he? You say, yeah, but preacher, I've got something to say. Isn't that the truth about all of us? We all have something to say. But so does God. And if we're so busy talking, we never have time to listen. I hope I'm helping you this morning. There was comforting, this consolation brings an illumination. We can be comforted in the fact that our eyes have been opened. Can you imagine trying to walk with Jesus blind? Hello. Knowing this, that no matter the situation, God has a solution. Secondly, comforted by His light. It's a whole lot easier to walk in here with lights than lanterns. Real lights, isn't it? And when the light of the Word of God leads your path, it's a whole lot easier to walk down that highway. And Isaiah 35 called it a highway of holiness. Or the vultures can't get in. And comfort for others. The Scripture says Joseph and Mary marveled. Do you know that when Mary realized what her little boy was going to become, that she needed some consolation? After the man of God had just got through telling her prophetically that he will be the fall and the rise of many, you realize that Jesus became a stumbling block? Not only to the Jewish nation, He's a stumbling block to the Gentiles if they don't believe Him. We will trip over ourselves and hurt ourselves and bruise ourselves all of our lives, never coming into a comfort. And the Father wants to comfort us. But most of the time, we don't need a stumbling block. We're too busy killing one another. You're not saying amen when I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
Psalms 23, verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they..." I've got, what, 25 more minutes, Brother Glenn?
Yep.
Now let's go bring it on home. How many of you find great consolation in pain? It's simply very hard to find consolation in pain. I was a fortunate fellow. I'd been to Vietnam and came home intact. I was blessed. But I had other things in my life that wounded me. Never had a broken limb. Never had a broken toe. My friends would break limbs and toes, and we played football, and they all get all busted up, and I was just blessed. And when I first received the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing He started to teach me, and the time that I couldn't find much consolation in it, about the cross and Him being nailed to a tree. And in our Bible college, we had a doctor who brought forth the medical understanding of how much pain and agony as those spikes went through his feet and his wrist, and how those nerves and his feet that was connected to the nerves in his mind, and how much pain and agony that brought to him. And do you know that Jesus, in all that agony and pain, found consolation on the cross? He had not only fulfilled his calling and his purpose. He had reached his destiny. That now man had an opportunity once again to restore the Garden of Eden back to his original plan. That he could come and walk with man side by side and have fellowship with him. Through his pain, he found great consolation. I may remember one time I've been a builder all my life, but I was doing some commercial fishing. The economy was down, and I was fooling with my outboard moored, and I had my hand, and my hand slipped and had it cocked underneath the bottom part of the motor, and when the motor would slam, it's metal to metal, and my whole hand was in there. And when my hand slipped, I was able to pull my hand out, but it took a quarter of an inch of my finger off with the bone. And what immediately came out of my spirit was this: thank you, Father, it wasn't my whole hand. Was it painful? Oh, yes. But the joy overcame the pain. And the comfort that no matter what afflictions. And Paul just talks about we are only going through light afflictions. And he says, I glory the more. And when things are not going our way, I wonder at times why we don't find comfort. He's still with us. He's still the Holy Ghost of God. He's still leading us, according to John 16:3. He's still instructing us, and he still shows us things to come. I found great consolation in prophesying that before this camp was over, we would have sunshine and have lights. The devil said, you're a false prophet. I said, you're stupid, and I don't listen to you. I said that with all the assurance that I have in my heart that what I heard God say. I didn't have to say it. I'm not afraid to say it. And I'm not to speak on his behalf because I know him. And he knows me. And I do not speak out of turn. And I will not speak without his permission. So if I think this concept of the consolation that I receive from the Word and by the Holy Ghost, I'm going to hear him. He's going to reveal himself to me. He's going to lead me. Will he not?
Amen.
And with all that, he's going to comfort me. And then we find that he was comforted because consolation brings illumination and he comforts others. He was comforted by the confirming word of Anna, the prophetess who was already in the temple fasting and praying. And you may think she was just an old fool. She was not. She was the confirming word of what Simeon had already heard before he ever saw it. And she was waiting to console him and to comfort him with such words. And so I'm reminded in 1 Thessalonians 14, it says, comfort one another with these words. Isaiah said it this way, comfort all that mourn in Zion. If you heard anything I said to you this morning, we have a great comfort. He is our comforter. And no matter what we're feeling, and no matter what impressions we're getting, no matter what trials or tribulations we're going through, he is the consoler of our soul and spirit. And the most comforting thing that I hear over and over, I will never leave you comfortless. It's cutting my lawn. You know, we do that often in Louisiana, 2-3 times a week in summertime. Pushing my little, my riding lawn mower was broken and I wanted to complain. So I finally cracked my little push mower and I'm pushing it through that. We have what we call St. Augustine grass and it's like a mattress. It's real thick. I hate that stuff. I hate the fact that I ever planted it. But I listened to my wife like Adam did. But I love her. So I'm going through these tall weeds. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord says, behold, I will be with you always. All of a sudden, I had a gear on the backside of me pushing. I'm serious. I come in the house and sweating and everything and happy as the Lord. My wife says, what's wrong with you? Usually when you come out of the yard, you go, oh, man, is hot today. You know, you can take off so much clothes without having indecent exposure. And I said, I was cutting the grass. And the Lord spoke to me and comforted my heart in the midst of my labor. And I thought, if God can take time to comfort me, cutting grass in South Louisiana with all the heat and mosquitoes, I wish He'd change our state bird. And I found comfort. Because, see, my mind was not only on pushing the lawnmower, my mind was concentrating on Him. And when we give ear to Him, when we'll hear Him, He'll reveal Himself to you. And He will lead you, and He will comfort you. Now, that is the simplest form of teaching that I will probably ever give you. You hear, He reveals, He leads, and He comforts. The first half of that whole message in Luke chapter 2 was all about the angel showing up and telling Mary and Joseph that she was going to conceive and they were going to bring forth a child. But the marvelous part about that second half of that story that men leave out, that Simeon was given a mandate from God to try to keep the purity of the Word of God out of the hands of corruptible men. And till this day, the fight goes on. We need to return not only to the simplicity of the Word of God, but the pureness of what the Word of God says. And we think about that, we will hear Him. And we will receive and see and be comforted. Close your Bibles. Stand to your feet. Father, we love You not because You feed us, not because You give us drink, because You are God and You are our Father. And we love You because You've saved us from a horrible place. We love You because You have filled us that we would never be dry. We love You because You continuously lead us into green pastures. And sometimes we have to go between a rock and a hard place to get there. But the consolation is that we know that we are going to get there. And then once we have received all those things, we can go about walking and comforting one another. So Father, I thank You today that You comfort our hearts. You not only prepare us for this day, because it's a day that You've made, but You prepare us to walk in Your kingdom and by Your Spirit every day. And Father, we pray for this camp. We pray for the leadership. We pray for all the hands that labor here. And we pray that You would also comfort these men that are up on poles, that still have ice and trucks and working to restore the electricity to this place. And we are confident that You're going to do it. You're already at work, and You've been at work, and we're just waiting on the consolation, having the comfort, knowing that You have already done it. And we thank You for it. And Father, we thank You for Your people and everything that You're doing in their lives. And we give You the praise and the glory. And Father, we thank You for this food that we are about to partake of today. We ask that You would bless it, nourish it to our body, bless our fellowship. Let it be pure. Let it be holy. Let it be just. Let us build up one another, and let us comfort one another with good words. And we'll give You the praise and the glory. And all that agree said, amen. God bless you. I guess we're going to enjoy lunch now.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.